Thank you. Good morning. We are calling February 23rd, 2011 variance hearing. I am Scott Sanchez, the city administrator. I am assisted by Eva Atahara Taylor, our executive secretary. She'll be running the controls for the hearing today. Just go over a few items, general information. For order of presentations today, we'll begin with the applicant and or owners. They'll be allowed 5 minutes to speak to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met that require to justify a variance. I'll be more on that in just a minute. After that, we'll have proponents or opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak during public comment. If there are any opponents to the project, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the project sponsor and members of the public. At the end of the hearing, they close the public hearing, they continue this to a later date, may actually make a decision on the item today or take the matter under advisement for a future decision. Also, when you, as project sponsors, when you come up to the podium, please submit your declaration of posting. This is the declaration that you have attached to the appropriate poster to the property for the required amount of time. On the calendar today, we have a few items that will be continued to a future hearing date. We also have a fairly large consent calendar. We don't typically have consent calendars that are this long. However, since we did not have a December hearing this year, we have a lot of items to carry over, and we wanted to accommodate everyone as best as possible. If anyone would like to speak on any of the consent calendar items, please come up and say so. We'll be taking two of those items off. We'll be more of that in just a minute. At the end of the calendar, there'll be a general public comment for items that are not calendared on this hearing. And going into the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code could result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by the other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to public welfare or material injurious to property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. So project sponsors, when you are making your presentation, please focus on those five findings and how the project meets the required five findings. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. A decision letter will carry with it a 10-day appeal period. So if the decision is either granting the variance or denying the variance, that will have a 10-day appeal period. Due to the overwhelming number of variance applications, it can take up to 2 months for a decision letter to be issued. If you would like to receive a decision letter, please assign the sign-in sheet on the far wall for the case that you're interested in, and we'll mail you a copy of the decision letter so you'll be sure to know when the appeal period will begin. And that appeal goes to the Board of Appeals, and as I said, make that within 10 days of the decision letter being issued. Other general matters, private conversations can be disruptive to the hearing, so while we encourage parties to discuss, please do so outside if you're going to have lengthy conversations that might be disruptive to others. And that is all. We will begin now with the items for continuance.
The first item are two items that are in consideration of items proposed for continuance. This means that the zoning administrator will consider a request for continuance to a later date. He may choose to continue the item to the proposed date below, to continue the item to another date, or to hear the item on this calendar. The first item for continuance, case number 2010.1137V, 226 27th Street, rear yard variance sought.
And so for this case on 226 27th Street, we are continuing to March 23rd, 2011, because during the course of our review, there were revisions made to the project that now require a variance from the front setback requirement of the Planning Code. So we'll be actually re-noticing that for the future hearing date. Is there anyone here who has comments to make, any public comments on 226 27th Street. So seeing none, we would continue that item to March 23rd, 2011. As I noted, there'll be a new notification that describes the new variance as part of that as well.
The second item for continuance is case number 2008.0723V, 1255 to 1275 Columbus Avenue.
And on 1255 to 1275 Columbus Avenue, an appeal of the negative declaration was made. It's an appeal being brought down review to the Planning Commission. It's my understanding that that case has now been scheduled for May 12th. So we will continue this variance to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission on May 12th. Should that environmental review be withdrawn, if that appeal may be withdrawn, then we would try to accommodate that case at an earlier hearing and would re-notice as such. So with that, is there anyone here to speak on 1255 to 1275 Columbus Avenue? So seeing none, we would continue that to May 12th, 2011. A joint hearing with the Planning Commission, so that will be Thursday, beginning at 1:30 in room 400 of City Hall.
The next items are considered consent calendar items. These are items listed that constitute considered to be routine by the zoning administrator. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a member of the public so requests, in which case the matter shall be removed from the consent calendar and considered as a separate item at this time or at a future hearing. The following cases are considered consent calendars. Case number 2010.1012B, 2881 Vallejo Street. Side yard variance sought. Item number, case number 2010.0922V, 631 Moultrie Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number 5, case number 2010.1071V, 235 Santa Ana Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Item number 6, case number 2010.1060V, 655 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. The item number 7, case number 2010.0999V, 659 Ellsworth Street, mass reduction and rear yard variances sought. Item number 8, case number 2010.0877V, 168 Langton Street, parking and exposure variances sought. Item number 9, case number 2010.1067V, 474 Natoma Street, exposure variance sought. Item number 10, case number 2010.1138V, 1000 Newhall Street, rear yard, open space, exposure, non-conforming structure, variances sought. Item number 11, case number 2010.1134V, 563 Liberty Street, rear yard variance sought. And the last item number 12, case number 2010.1098V, 461 Hoffman Avenue.
And so just to note, two items that will be coming off of the consent calendar will be item number 8, that's 168 Langton Street. That will be the first item heard after the actions are taken on the consent items. The second item will be item number 12, 461 Hoffman Avenue, which is actually a parking variance that is being sought for the addition of the dwelling unit. That will also be taken off consent. Now, is there anyone that would like to have a public hearing granted on any of the other consent calendar items? And just real quickly, I'll redo this again for the record. We have 2881 Vallejo Street, we have 631 Moultrie Street, we have 235 Santa Ana Avenue, 655 Sanchez Street, 659 Ellsworth Street, 474 Natoma Street, 1000 Newell Street, and 563 Liberty Street. If there's anyone who has any comments on these items, please step forward now. We will take the item off the consent calendar, have a full public hearing. Otherwise, the action we would take would be to grant these variances. So is there anyone who has public comment in any of the cases that I called? So seeing that there is no public comment, we will close the public hearing on those items and grants subject to standard conditions. And now we would move on to the regular calendar, beginning with the two consent items that were taken off the consent.
Item number 12.
So if we begin with item number 8.
Oh, 8, sorry. I'm the owner of 61 Elm Street, or do I just need to move?
Yeah. Also to reiterate for anyone who was on the consent item and you have a declaration of posting, please submit that up front. So that's what we have there. So beginning with item number 8, 168 Lincoln Street.
My name is Kirk Miller.
Excuse me, sir. Let me just read the item again, please, if you don't mind. So this is item number 8, case number 2010.0877V, 168 Langton Street, parking and exposure variances sought. You're the sponsor?
I'm the architect.
Oh, architect. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Kirk Miller, address 442 Post Street, Suite 801, San Francisco 94102. Here's the declaration of posting, ma'am.
Thank you.
We request that the variances, as in the notice, be granted, but we'll put something on the record, and that is that we'd like to make a best faith effort to give the exposure to the front street on this project. That does require the moving of two circuit breaker boxes up to the second and third floors. However, seeing as this is a very, very old building and you start renovating, you don't know what you're going to run into. We'd like to, again, make the best faith ever, but we run into so many unknowns that it's just really going to be very, very complicated and very, very more expensive than we figured on. We'd like to still use the variance if necessary. And with regards to timing on that, we have to fully sprinkle the building, so we need to get mechanical permits for it. We also have to do some electrical work. So we request that when we submit for the electrical permit, we talk with the case planning case study, planning case officer, and see what we've got. And hopefully within that plan, we'll be enlarging that room, removing that storage closet, and giving the exposure to the front yard.
And so the subject variance to legalize the unit, can you say how long the unit has been there and describe a bit about the history of the unit?
Yes, as I understand from the current owner, the previous owner had lived in that unit for over 30 years, and so it's been non-conforming for more than 35 years.
And it's with no apparent negative impact on the neighborhood?
Correct. As by evidence, I guess by no one responding to the notice of posting.
Okay. Thank you. So, is there anyone here to speak on this item on 168 Lincoln Street? So, seeing that we closed the public hearing on the item and would be inclined to grant the requested variance both for the exposure and for the parking and appreciate the project sponsor's efforts to try to minimize the amount of variances that are needed and give them time to investigate those options and would ultimately make a final decision after the end of the Section 311 notification, which I believe expires on March 16th. So a decision would be issued after that time. And please contact the staff planner involved once you have some more information on the progress of your alternative proposal. And we move on now.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2010.1098V, 461 Hoffman Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? Yes.
It's a parking variance, not a rear.
Oh, a parking?
Yes,
okay, that will be corrected. That's regarding parking variance. Okay, you're the sponsor, so you have 5 minutes.
Great, thanks. Actually, my architect is on his way. He had prepared photographs of the site, so I'm not sure if we need to present them or not. But it's...
Do you know where your architect will arrive?
Yeah, in about 7 minutes.
Okay. Maybe we'll hold this item over, so we'll go to the next item on the calendar, and we'll come back. When your architect gets here, let us know, point you out the adequate representation of this area.
Thank you.
Item number 13, case number 2010.0988V, 1332 Greenwich Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Elaine Mohan from Feldman Architecture, and with me here is the owner of the property, Lauren Post. Just a little bit about the history at 1332 Greenwich. The property and some of the neighboring properties were all constructed in the late 1800s, and they were constructed with a very particular building pattern for those lots. There are two buildings per lot, and so 1332 in question was set up as a condominium a few years ago, and the entirety of the building is located within the 45% rear yard setback. I think we're allowed a 25% rear yard setback in this condition, but that, I guess, requires a variance for any alteration to the structure. What we're asking for is a moderate vertical expansion so that we can accommodate a full third story to provide. It's a very modest house at the moment, and we just like to make some improvements to provide, you know, full living space, a full single-family residence. And in order to achieve adequate head height and living conditions at the top floor, we're requesting a very modest, just only about 6 feet vertical expansion. We're trying to take care to limit the impacts to all the neighbors and sort of minimize any impacts to any view corridors for the surrounding properties.
As you noted, there is a pattern of this development in the neighborhood. It's not a new building by any stretch of imagination. And it's additional square footage to allow to improve the usage. Can you describe what is being gained by this? I think there's an office being gained.
Right. Nasty. Right now it's 2.5 stories.
Can you use the middle microphone?
It's 2.5 stories. The top floor is not legal livable space. I cheat and use it as an office. If you stand in the center, you don't bump your head. If you go a few feet in the direction, you do. So we're proposing to actually raise the roof a few feet to make it legal space, turn it into a master bedroom, and then also proposing midway in the house to enclose a small area that is currently open. It's currently over an interior stairway for a small sitting room area and office. On the north side is a fairly large roof deck, which we will keep as a roof deck. We will not be enclosing that. Yes. So I think we picture that.
Yeah, so and with the existing roof deck provides probably your most usable open space, as you call it, usable open space. Raising the height of the building will increase somewhat marginally the shadow on that deck, and that's something that you know the implications of, and you accept that as a trade-off.
Yes, I mean, it's the south side is the part that the roof would be raised on, but it's a minor
impact. We're trying to maintain the gable form of the existing roof line, and so I think that kind of cuts down a little bit on the mass and minimizes the shadow.
The house was significantly modified in 1959, and a historic study of that block, the Greenwich Lombard Folklore block, deemed the house to no longer have historical significance, but because of the significant modification, but as Elaine just mentioned, the gable roof is original to the 1885 structure, and I'd like to keep that just as a nod to the,
So Section 311 neighborhood identification is currently underway and will expire on March 12th.
Do you have the postings for this?
Also, I did receive letters of support for the project from 9 of my neighbors. Oh. Everybody on every side, the north, south, east, and west sides, plus diagonal neighbors. And they came over for wine and cheese. I showed them the plans. We walked out onto the roof. I sort of showed them how much higher we go, and everybody supported it. Okay. I mean, it's just sort of lucky that it does impact the shadow view, really, of the neighborhood, because it's such a steep slope. Everybody's sort of down along the inside or higher than I am on the other side.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. So is anyone here to speak on this item on 1332 Greenwich Street? So seeing none, we close the public hearing on this case. And I believe the party sponsor has demonstrated that the 5 findings of the variance can be met. would be inclined to grant the requested variance, but would hold over any decision until the expiration of the Section 311 neighborhood notification on March 12th. So with that, we move on to the next item.
Item number 14, case number 2010.0967V, 330 Seacliff Avenue, side yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, my name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for 330 Seacliff. We are requesting a variance for a side yard on the north side of the property. I've got posted on the screen initially an aerial photograph of the property. This is an unusual property. It's trapezoidal shaped. You can see it's at the end of the Seacliff development. On the right of the house, as you see in this photograph, is the China Beach parking lot. Below that is the China Beach itself, part of the GGNRA. Again, this is the last house, and then there's a lot of open space to the south and to the west of this house as you head towards the GGNRA. As you go the other direction to the left and up further on the screen, you see the typical development of Seacliff, which is actually consistently inconsistent as it stretches along the Pacific Ocean there on the left side. What we are wrestling with this project is that the existing garage, which comes down the north side of the house, takes a very hard 90-degree turn, and in fact has not been used in 30 years. So as a result, the owners of this house park their cars down to the left of the house, not easily visible in this photograph, but I'll show you later. They essentially park their cars, two of them, in the backyard. And that has been the case for a long time. So our goal in this project is to achieve covered parking at this property that is not in the rear setback and is not visible from the GGNRA and from the public right-of-way or from the other residences in the neighborhood. We've had extensive outreach on this project. The two houses that you see in the aerial photograph to the left are incidentally owned by Kirk Hammett, the Metallica rock star guitarist. One he lives in and one his parents-in-law actually live in. We've gotten to know them, and they're fine with this project, or at least we've not heard any negative feedback. The Hammett residence, which is the again the one directly to the left of the subject property in this photograph, has a blank wall the entire length of that property line along the driveway. So there are really no openings in that residence at all on that side. So there's really no visual communication between the two properties. With this this garage addition that we've done on the north side, we did initially look at a green roof option, and then by mutual discussion with the property owner, adjacent property owner, opted for a tile roof to match the house itself. This is part of a larger 311 notice that is being run separately, and so my understanding is the variance hearing today is simply for this part of the project, which is in the setback itself, specifically to achieve the garage. A couple of other specifics, and then I'll quickly run through some other photographs. This garage is well below street level, so as one is walking down the street looking between the houses, that does not change. Again, we've had outreach with the people across the street who are not believe themselves not to be affected by this property addition. So the garage is down below the grade of the street, and again, out of sight. This is a site plan showing specifically the area of the variance along the north property line. The dark hatched area is the variance area. The dark shaded area is the garage itself. This upper right photograph shows the driveway as it is right now. You can see the car parked at the end of the driveway there, right where the tree is. This is the condition that we are actually trying to avoid. This is an example. This is an example of a side garage in the neighborhood that is kind of in the side setback. This is another example of a side garage. Actually, this is one of the second house over to the north. Again, in the side setback. It seems to be how this problem's been handled. And these are just two examples from the neighborhood. There are quite a few other examples. Perspective before.
So that's time, but if you just finish up your last thought.
Perspective after, and that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And so the Section 311 notification has not yet commenced, is that correct?
That has not yet. Your question is, has it been?
Has it started yet?
It has not started. Okay.
And then also the environmental review has not yet completed. It's under
that has not yet been completed. That is also correct. Okay. Both of those, I believe the environmental review is in progress right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak on this item on 330 Seacliff Avenue? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. And I think that the project sponsor has put a very sensitive addition here to deal with the problem that we have of providing parking in a usable and accessible way that really best meets the intent of the code. While it is a side yard variance, it is below grade, and the impact, really, reading the property, it still provides a side setback because it is below grade, given that it is a trapezoidal lot, also steeply sloping, we find that it meets the requirements for the variance and would be inclined to grant the variance, however, would wait until the end of the Section 311 notification period and also wait until the completion of the environmental review before making a final decision on that. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 15, case number 2010.1069V, 338 Highland, rear yard variance lot. Sponsor? The sponsor for 338 Highland?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Heidi Lundibus. I'm the architect for 338 Highland. The project is a...
Oh, sorry.
The project is regarding the rear yard. The house for the size of the lot was originally built in 1908, and it's a little bit oversized. In terms of, basically the existing house is already in the rear setback. So, was told whatever we did had to comply with the variance. So, there's a rear stair that needs to be rebuilt, and it's a little falling apart right now. And we just remodeled the interior. So, with the rear stair remodeling, they wanted to add a little bit of a deck. For the second floor. There are three studio apartments below, so we have to comply with the light air requirements for their windows. So it's a little tight in terms of getting a stair on the windows and a giant tree as well. The backyard is shared with the three studio apartments below, so the owners would like a little tiny private space up top. And so that's what this deck is and stairs for. And I don't think the Section 311 went out yet, although we submitted all the materials for that.
It is forthcoming. But I appreciate your presentation. You touched on a lot of the concerns that I had as well. You have the three units below. There are four units total of this building in our H2 district, so it's a legal non-conforming building in terms of density. And you know, there's a struggle in balancing the quality of the low unit, because you said you have to worry about the overhang and you have to set the more and providing up for light and air for that lower unit, but also balancing having good, accessible, usable open space for that upper unit when you have the rear yard that's being shared. So, that's my concern about this, and it's not something that you also struggled with in the design as well.
Oh, yeah, we had a million design options for this.
Appreciate that effort that you've done. So let me see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
If there's any public comment on 338 Highland, okay, that's 338 Highland. Seeing none, close the public hearing on this item. While I do have concerns about the impacts on the lower unit, I find that this is probably the best solution to the issue. But I would wait, I'd take the matter under advisement and wait until the end of the Section 311 notice before issuing a final decision. And you should check in with the staff planner, but I hope that notice should go out within the next week or two of all materials have been submitted.
Oh.
And it's a 30-day notice from there.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys need the affidavit for posting?
Yes, please. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And maybe we can check back in with case number 12 on Hoffman to see if the project sponsors represented us. The architect is still not here. Is anyone else who is here for public comment on that item on Hoffman? Okay, I don't see anyone else waiting for that item, so we'll move on.
We'll move on to item number 16, case number 2010.0496V, 4179 23rd Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please?
Yes.
Can you please approach the mic? And you have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. This we are requesting variance in the interest of renovating the current residence on 23rd Street. Just wanted to point out that the current building is a historically significant building and contributed to the neighborhood, although it is oddly kind of depressed into the site right now. It's actually a fairly steep slope that goes down towards 22nd Street to the south. And the proposal is requesting to raise the building 5 feet and to install a garage on the front of the project. There is a small portion of the building at the rear which is in which is currently in the required rear yard area. So when the building is raised, obviously there is a minor intensification of the existing non-compliance. I would also just draw your attention to the sketch here, which shows that even with the building raised, the new or the proposed structure would be lower than the existing peak of the roof and is actually only 9.5 inches higher than the midpoint of that roof, which the planning department would normally take as the height of that area. Again, I would just say that this project, this building has been neglected and derelict for many, many years, and the current project will definitely improve upon that and rehabilitate the building. We have also spoken with many of the surrounding neighbors. No one has expressed any concerns. We do have one letter of support, and we've had other verbal support for the project. Thank you.
I conclude the subject property is a potential historic resource. It also has a front setback requirement. So it would inhibit development at the front of the property given that the resource has a front setback requirement, so requiring more development at the rear of the building. And it's my understanding that the configuration of the street is somewhat unique in that it had probably previously been laterally sloping, or quite radically so, and that they had raised up the street level, and that's why if maybe you put the photo of the front building, it was across a little moat.
There's currently approximately an 8-foot drop from the sidewalk to grade, and that would be that would make sense with the idea of actually leveling and flattening the street on a slope.
Okay.
That's a kind of thing.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on this item on 4179 23rd Street? Seeing none, I would close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variance.
Great. Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 17. Case number 2010.1074V, 234 9th Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
This is the affidavit. My name is Lisa Iwamoto. I'm with the architect, Iwamoto Scott. We are requesting a variance to the 25-foot rear yard setback. This is a building which has been owned for 3 generations by the Monaco family, and the current Monaco wants to move his family into the upper 2 levels. So we're changing the use from commercial to residential, which requires a setback. Basically, instead of the setback, what we're proposing is to cut in 2 relatively large courtyards within the existing concrete frame. All the properties around the site also have a 0 rear yard setback, and so this is actually in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. And you can see from this image just the quality of the interior, not wanting to rip out the back 25 feet of the building, but rather to work inside using some concrete frame, simply taking out the timber. That's basically our request.
Thank you very much. So you mentioned that it's the same owner of the property, they're just adapting and reusing it, so from commercial to mixed use, so it'll still be commercial on the ground floor.
The ground floor will still be the existing use, which is Monaco Labs.
And I think that there had been one maybe email in support. Also, there's I think some had questions about why we would grant a parking variance for the subject building. And there's already a parking entrance, but that is for the commercial use. Is that correct?
Actually, there's space for 2 cars
okay.
in that parking, and so this is going to be for the residential.
Okay. So that's those parking provided for the commercial use.
They don't use it really. I don't know why they have cars in there. They just store it and they don't drive either of those cars. But we're going to keep the existing roll-up door and use this parking set of parking spaces.
Because it was my understanding that there was had also been an issue about the parking.
I saw that in the letter that came to us. Okay. But we thought we'd just bring it up here, which is we don't think it's an issue because it is already parking.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for addressing that, clarifying that up too. But it also is very close to public transit as well, and from Civic Center Station and numerous beauty lines. So
this kind of commercial use is actually done much more over the internet.
Okay.
There are film converters from one media to another.
That's a great.
They don't have a lot of walk-in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. So, is there anyone here to speak on this item? And that is 234 9th Street. So seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variance. Thanks.
Item 12 is ready.
Oh, item number 12 is ready, so if you can call off.
Item 12. Okay, we're moving to item number 12, and that is case number 2010-1098V, 461 Hoffman Avenue, parking variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
All right. My name is Russell McCall. I'm the owner, and right now it's a single family house that is zoned for 1 to 2 units. It doesn't have off-street parking because of some logistical kind of situations that the architect will show in pictures. And I just wanted to say I bought it because it's not a fancy house and there's a lot of basement space underneath, which is unique, that I want to use as just a little one-bedroom apartment for myself and rent the other unit to ideally a family. I know it's a very family neighborhood. And I'm a teacher with San Francisco Unified, so the renting out, having one apartment downstairs and renting out above would help me make all the payments for all the various things with the house, because it's kind of a big house. And my architect has some pictures to show just how the relationship with the street works and how a lot of houses on that side of the street don't have garages
Before we move on to that, can I just ask, do you have a car currently?
I don't have a car.
Okay.
Right. And I don't plan on having one. It's kind of a moral objection. And it's also in a neighborhood that in Noe Valley that has a lot of access to public transit and go down the folks of Bar even.
Thank you.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you doing?
My name's Richard Parker. I'm principal at 450 Architects. And Rusty approached us about a year ago to take a look at his property and see what he could do with it. Rusty's a teacher. He's extremely sustainably minded. He doesn't own a car, and he teaches. And we met at a class that I teach on sustainable and green building. And he liked what we did. And he said, can you help me develop my home in such a manner that I could live there and rent out a portion of my property so that I can help defer the mortgage and the other payments to it? The specifics of this house are, it's an old, historic, modest Victorian. And just the relationship of the existing sidewalk to the existing facade and the existing floor plate is such that it's extremely difficult to build a garage in this property without significantly altering the historic facade. We'd have to remove at least one bay window and redo the front entrance to get the required width for garage door in. And we would also have to remove one of those two beautiful being maintained street trees. I consider those to be one of the nicest trees on the block, the way that they've been maintained and let light into his property as well as those in the adjacent properties. Get the benefit of the green trees and also the light. I think Rusty's done a great job of maintaining those trees. You can take a look at this photograph, shows where his floor plate is, kind of right here. The neighbor to his north, their floor plate's way up here, giving them an extra 3.5 feet so they could get underneath and put a garage over here. The neighbor to the south, which is a brand new building, their floor plate is 6 feet above Rusty's, right here, right about there. And that's what it took for them in order to put a garage in. And so that would significantly hamper and destroy this facade in order to do that. And then,
one last image if I may. Right here, it shows the specifics of just how steep
the sidewalk is
and just how close this grade is to the sidewalk and how impossible it would be to actually get a driveway in underneath this historic facade. And what Rusty intends to do is actually put a garden in this space in the future, so we're actually going to take away sort of a trashy area and turn it into a nice garden that faces the street. And I have many other photos here. And really, what Rusty's trying to do is remove this drive-by structure in the back of the property so that he can then have a small little unit downstairs.
So just finish up your last thought, please.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? 461 Hoffman Avenue. So seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. It was taken off of consent calendar because we had received numerous calls and emails in opposition to the project, in particular because of the parking variance issue. And I think that the question officer did a really good job of addressing that, you know, why a parking variance is justified versus a potential historic resource, that adding a garage to that would have an adverse impact on that potential resource. It's likely that the garage could not be added without either raising the building or significant ramping of the public right-of-way in order to accommodate the driveway. Adding a garage would result in the loss of potentially at least one street tree, and also one or two on-street parking spaces. So we're not actually having that benefit on the neighborhood. We're providing one off-street parking space and taking away one on-street parking space. Also, it's within close proximity to numerous transit routes. I believe that three blocks away. There's, it's probably within three blocks, at least five different unit lines. Also, I believe it's not within a residential permit parking area. So if there are concerns about parking in the neighborhood, that's at least one more tool that can be called upon to go to the Department of Parking and Traffic and request that there be a residential permit zone for the area to try to manage better the parking impacts on the neighborhood. So for that, I would find that the variance is justified and would be inclined to grant the variance. But the Section 311 notification expires in just a few days on the 26th. So we would delay any decision until after that date is expired.
So I have nine owners around the block that support or feel neutral about it.
Yes, please submit that. Yes, we'll add that to the record as well. Thank you. And now we can...
All right, moving forward to where we left off, that will be item number 18, case number 2008.0546B, 2324 19th Street, rear yard variance sign. Is the sponsor here, please? The sponsor for 2324 19th Street?
Hold this item over until the end of the calendar.
Okay, we're going to move it at the back of the calendar, so...
I know there was I'm aware of opposition to this project as well, so is there anyone here to speak on this item in opposition to or in support of 2324 19th Street? Okay, well, let's hold the item over.
Okay, moving forward to item number 19, case number 2010.1062B, 3534 to 3536 Clay Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor here, please? Could you please approach the mic? Go ahead, sir, please.
Did you have a question, sir?
I just wanted to see the paperwork that I gave.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, you have 5 minutes,
sir.
Okay, I'm Reynolds. I'm from Walker with the architects. The architect for the project at 3536 Clay Street. It's there's an existing extension of the house that is currently in the rear yard. We propose to infill the lower level of this extension, do a slight alteration, an angled part, change that so we get a better connection between the existing two rooms in the rear. We had a pre-app meeting with the city about a year ago to discuss the issues. There's an existing winding, unsound stair that connects the back two units to the roof and down to the ground, which we no longer need. We are proposing removing that, and that's how we're getting the space to put this little angled kink in there. And we also got a reading for the non-combustible metal stair that goes along the east side property line. We have received, I'm aware of, two letters, two complaints from neighbors, one in particular, the immediate neighbors to the west of the project, and I had a brief discussion with their representative, and it was there is an existing roof deck observation platform that has been constructed on the back of this rear yard extension, and in our original submittal we wanted to reconstruct that and have it brought up to structural codes. The neighbors had concerns, both I only read the other complaint, but they both had concerns about the legality of this existing roof deck, where it was located, and privacy concerns, especially from the neighbors to the adjacent western property. I believe we have submitted an addendum, or I'd like to have this judged on the merits of an addendum, which in essence takes the existing roof observation platform off of the existing rear yard addition, which is it's not an addition, it's an extension into the rear yard. And we want to pull the entire roof deck back to the back property line of the main residence, not the extension, and tuck it into the roof itself so that it no longer projects into the rear yard. It's centered in the house. It's got it's the same width, but it's 10 feet off of either of the side property lines. So I think that will take care of the...
Do you put plans?
Yeah, I have plans here.
If you could put that on the overhead, that'd be great. Thank you.
That here?
That's, I'm just going to quickly show you, that's where it was
proposed. That's where we had submitted the drawings proposing at the same location. And that shows the same winding stair going up there, but instead of pulling, being back in the rear extension, it's centered in the house, in the hip of the existing house. So it's centered over the living space of the upper unit of this residence.
So is the level that the deck is at, is that at the attic level then? And
yeah, it's at the ridge line of the house. I have some elevations if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be great. Can you access it from within the building or only through that spiral staircase?
Only through the spiral staircase.
And is that spiral staircase also within the required rear yard as well?
Okay. Yes, it is.
That's the
side elevation when we were taking the existing observation platform and restructuring and putting a glass enclosure around it. And that's when it's sitting off of this extension on the back of the house.
This is
a little confusing because it's sort of a section elevation, but it shows the fact that the stairs there, we just put a little hip roof over the existing extension back there to make it tie in more with the existing look of the house. And then that's actually a section cut through the center of the deck, which shows that the rear, because it will cut into the attic space there, that it will be solid in the back and it will just have the front U-shaped bit of glass facade. And I also have a rear elevation that I can show you real quick. That's the rear elevation as it was submitted and proposed when the roof deck was going back where it was, but in a more substantial form because it would have to meet current codes.
What's the height of the roof deck above grade as measured from the rear of the property?
Cut that off on my
It's not a steeply downsloping lot. It is downsloping, but it's not.
It looks to me
that, it is not steeply, but it's at least 8 feet. I can tell here on the side elevation that I'm going to put up here where it shows.
I can point it out to you.
Okay.
That's the ground elevation in the front of the house. This is a quarter scale. And then this is the ground elevation in the rear of the house. Just so I've got this up here, you can see now how this roof deck, instead of being up here and on the property line, where currently the owners of this house can look down and over into the neighbor's yard, it would be nestled up here in the end hip of the roof and would be approximately 10 feet off of either of the side elevations of the house.
Could you go back to the floor plan you had of the deck?
Current or proposed or the new proposal?
The new proposal, please. There you go. So that spiral staircase doesn't extend any further into the rear yard than the existing building addition there. It's nestled.
No, and you can see dotted in there a little bit. There is an old typical winding stair that went down the back, so it doesn't extend out as far as that. It wouldn't be visible from either of the neighbors, and I don't think so.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Is there any public comment on this item on 3534 to 3536 Clay Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
I hope this can be brief. My name is Neil Schwartz from Schwartz and Architecture, and I represent the neighbors to the west. Who did have problems with what was being called the roof deck. This is an image of what they're referring to as a roof deck, which is, in essence, just a cobbled-together platform on top of the existing roof. And I think the issue was that rather than see this as an existing condition that they could rebuild, it, in fact, isn't an existing roof deck, and therefore wouldn't constitute rebuilding. Also, it didn't seem to be a hardship to have them, given the structural and cost implications of bringing this up to code, it didn't seem to be a hardship to do it in a code-compliant, non-variance position. So the architect for the owner did show my clients the drawings that he was just referring to. If, in fact, they are submitted in that format, I don't think my clients would have any issue with it, and I guess we would have the opportunity to review that in the 311 process.
Yes, we'd have to review the proposal, because I will tell you, I had serious concerns about the project as well, and would not have been inclined to grant the variance as initially proposed. So you understand it, and your clients understand our position on that. Do appreciate the project sponsor's willingness and also your client's willingness to try to see what alternative would allow them to have this, what I'm sure would be quite nice, usable open space, but also minimize the impacts on the adjacent properties. And we will review very carefully the plans that were submitted. As I said, would not be inclined to grant the variance without those changes.
Good.
So, we'll work with the project sponsor to determine what the appropriate notification process would be for the modified proposal.
Okay, and I think in general, if it were a non-variance needing code-compliant roof deck, then I don't think my clients would have an issue with it.
And so it's unique. The lower level infill, there was no concern there.
No.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate the comments.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone else that has public comment on this item? And if not, the project sponsor would have a 3-minute rebuttal and would have a few questions for the project sponsor as well, so please step forward.
I don't have anything really to add other than...
When will you be submitting that revision to the variance?
I just have to go back. I have reviewed this with, there's two owners of the building. I have reviewed it with both of them. I have to just go back and check in with them and we could get on the right of way and resubmit it.
Okay.
It's just a matter of whether we have to go back to another variance process or if there is a way to, I mean, I have no problem showing it to the neighbors or however we wish.
We can address it through this hearing I think allow some time for you to discuss the matter further with your clients and with the neighbors. So actually with that, we would close the public hearing on this. We'd take the matter under advisement and ask that you discuss the matter further with all parties, submit revisions based upon that for us to review. We will then determine appropriately the process that may be needed for it, if any further process is to be needed for it. And make clear that we have no intention of supporting the current proposal for the observation deck, but do want you to look at that alternative proposal, and this is something that we could be inclined to grant. The lower level info I've seen a problem with, but the observation deck is a big concern.
Yeah, and just so you know, it's not an alternative. It is the way we're going to go with this.
Okay.
That's already been agreed upon, and that's how we're going to submit it.
Excellent. So once that's submitted, we will review it and ensure all aspects of the code are being complied with and move forward at that point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So as I said, we would take the matter under advisement, revised plans to be submitted, the department will review those plans and issue a final decision once we have worked with project sponsor neighbors and the revised plans. Thank you. And that's a little confusing, but thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Moving to case number 20, case number 2010.0817V, 260 and 264 Mullen Avenue, lot size variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Tony Kim. I'm here to represent project sponsors. The subject property contains two independent detached single-family structures on two legal lots of record. Currently, there is an interior property line between Lot 1 and Lot 26 that bisects both existing buildings. The structures predate the planning code lot size provision and the building codes that would disallow the current property configuration. Although granting of the variance will create two lots that are smaller than the required of the planning code, the lot line adjustment and the variance are necessary to allow continued practical use of the buildings as separate properties. Literal enforcement of the code requirement for lot area imposes an undue hardship on the property owners without providing any benefit, since there are other properties in the subject block and directly across the street with similar lot areas and irregular dimensions. All three surrounding properties contain legal non-compliant structures as they encroach into their rear yards with very minimal rear yards or no rear yards at all. The property directly north of the subject property contains a single family house built across two lots. Lot 27 is similar to our lot 1 in size and shape. Directly across the street from the subject property are irregular lots with unusual lot frontages and dimensions. And I think that's the nature of Bernal Heights, smaller irregular lots that are on narrow winding streets. As for the subject property, the rear door of 260 Mullen Avenue, the building on lot 1, literally sits on the property line. And so if you go to the house and you open the door, you open the door across the property line and step into lot 26. The lot line adjustment and associated variance will allow a lot configuration that is practical and more traditional. The property line bisecting a house is not uncommon in San Francisco, and it's reasonable and practical when there's a single house on two lots under one ownership. But when we have two detached single-family dwellings under two ownership on two legal lots with an interior property line bisecting both buildings, I would say that's impractical, exceptional, and extraordinary. The granting of the variance will bring the properties closer to conformance of the code with buildings in the front with yards in the rear, each on their own lot. The purpose of this variance and lot line adjustment is to make the properties whole with all of the components that fit into a more typical lot with the appropriate orientation. We received an email yesterday from Mr. Williams about the easement on lot 25 benefits from lot 26. My clients don't intend to change that at all, and from speaking with our attorney, it sounds like if we need to re-record anything, we'll keep it the same dimension configuration, and that should be done after the lots are assigned new lots with their physical description of the property, but we don't intend on changing that at all. We have two additional letters of support that I'd like to submit for the record. And respectfully request that you grant this variance, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. I think you did an excellent job in addressing the reasons why the variance should be granted. Just wanted to note that there was having some discussion prior to the hearing today about continuing this item, and there was a discussion with representatives for the neighbor, Mr. Williams, as you noted. There have been discussion about potential conditions that could address their concerns, the neighbors and concerns about potential future development on this lot, and that the lot line adjustment would give greater development potential to the buildings. And there had been discussion, and I think all parties have agreed upon a condition which is similar to our standard condition, but would require variance for any future expansion of either building. Right now, the standard condition is that any future development, even within the buildable area, is reviewed by the zoning administrator, and then a determination is made about whether or not a variance is required. So it's something that is a potential type of variance required, but this would actually require a variance for any future physical expansion. And so that's still acceptable to all parties, as you understand it.
Yes, as my clients are aware, that they're amenable to that condition.
As you say, that the issue with the easement, which generally the city does not get involved with easements of private matters, but that your client will maintain that easement.
I just think that just for the purpose of the discussion, the easement's not going to change until Department of Public Works assigns a new lot number and physical description, so none of that will change.
Then the easement will be recorded on the
Yes, absolutely.
And it's something between the parties and not the city to be involved in. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is anyone here to speak on this item, the variance for 260 to 264 Bond?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Neil Bergman. I am the neighbor at 256 Mullen Avenue. We've worked hard, and I appreciate that, to approach an agreement regarding this project. Our representative, Mr. Williams, sent Mr. Kim a few days ago a draft settlement agreement, and we haven't gotten any response about the language in that agreement, and it hasn't been signed. And that's why I'm here today. I want to make sure to preserve my objections and reserve our rights until that agreement is signed. A couple of items I want to quickly note. The notice that was sent out to the neighbors and was posted on the buildings until a couple of days ago incorrectly states this is a zoning district, RH2. That was corrected. A new post was a couple of days ago. Also, the issue that Mr. Kim addressed a couple minutes ago toward the end, the right-of-way issue, I understand the city is involved in that. And again, that's yet another reason why I'm concerned about getting a private settlement agreement. I can only get into my house by walking across the currently recorded easement. That's my only entrance into my home. And under this proposed lot line, I would now be crossing the property at 264. So obviously it's very important to me. We ask that current encumbrances be continued and propose that language in the settlement agreement.
But is that the only, you don't have frontage otherwise, or you're a landlocked?
Correct. My it's two units, and my unit is completely landlocked. Similar to the situation that Mr. Kim described with the subject properties, to get into my home, I'm walking across another property. And my house goes right to the property line, which is currently the 260.
You have a garage in your?
I do. I have a detached garage or
okay, so that is on Mullen?
That's on Mullen before it makes that bend up the hill.
But your entrance is along the steps?
Correct. It's two little units, and there's one entrance to one unit on the front, and my unit is the rear unit, and the entrance is along the back.
Okay.
So, and it's the only entrance to my home.
Okay.
I live on lots.
Can you please use the, you have separate 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. This will just take a second. I'm Melissa Zweigoff. I live at 290 Mullen, and I just wanted to state that lots 27 and 28 are actually merged. They're not two separate lots. I've lived there for over 20 years.
So it's still showing our records, I believe, as two separate lots. So what, do you know what that new lot number is?
No, I don't.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank God.
Okay, thanks. So, more public comment?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. My name is Kelly Chris, and I am the owner of 260 Mullen. In 2007, I purchased my first home at 260 Mullen as part of a tenancy in common. At the time, I didn't fully appreciate the fact that an existing property line bisected my house. After 2 years, my TIC partners, Alan and Daniel, who you also hear from, were eligible to initiate the condo conversion process, and we consulted with Andy Serkin to get started. After reviewing the property details, Serkin advised us to pursue a lot line adjustment to create two freestanding, single-standing homes, which makes sense for the property since, as a tenancy in common, we actually don't share common space or the other things that tenancy in commons typically share. The proposed lot line adjustment follows a pre-existing fence, and it made sense to us to keep this arrangement to minimize disturbance to our property and to the neighbors. While recognizing that this variance will carry a restriction going forward, this proposal brings both properties into a more traditional layout that makes it more practical for both me and my current TIC partners moving forward, and we thank you for your consideration of this proposal.
Thank you. Sorry, just to clarify, I think this is, you said both parties have resided for 1 year on the premises?
More. We did the two-year holding. So I bought in June. Alan and Daniel purchased in November. So this time last year, we actually initiated the condo conversion process.
So you're eligible for the exemption from the lottery?
Because we're a two-unit TIC.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hey, Scott. My name is Alan. Well, this is my husband, Daniel Kalot, and we just have 2 points. We live in a 500-square-foot cottage, and it'll just be really nice to be able to walk out our door into our garden and know that we're not walking out onto our TIC partner's land, basically, because it's an important part of our living space. And the second is, I just really want to speak to the profundity what this will mean for us, which is being able to have a single family home in San Francisco that we could afford and have a fixed rate loan, which we cannot get. That's great. So,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
So is there any more public comment on this item? Seeing none, Mr. Kim, both your clients have spoken, but if you would like to come up and address what the neighbors had said about the settlement agreement.
Tony Kim for the project sponsors. So we did receive Mr. Williams' draft settlement agreement the other day, and our attorney is reviewing it. I think there's some language in there that goes beyond our agreement, and we want to fine-tune that. I think we are working towards that. If the neighbor directly to the west of us on 25 would like a separate agreement for the easement, I think we'd be definitely interested in reviewing that and signing that. But all lumped together, there's some language in the agreement that goes beyond the condition of approval that we've been discussing. I don't know if you want to know the details, but
no, that's fine.
Okay. But we are definitely moving towards signing that agreement, but our attorney needs to get back to Mr. Williams with our comments.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. So with that, I would close the public hearing on this item and would be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to the condition that we have specified that any future development on the site would require a variance. So it's any future physical expansion of the building would require a new variance. And noting that this is something that is correcting, I think, a serious design deficiency. Having the lot lines, the building over the lot lines, is a serious deficiency and violation of the building code. I did discuss the matter with Deputy Director Cornfield of the Department of Building Inspection, and they indicated that this is a condition that does exist elsewhere in the city. It would not necessarily preclude development on the lot because there are things in the building code that could allow what they call assumed lot lines. So it wouldn't necessarily preclude future development in the current layout, but that is, you know, something that I had discussed with the Department of Building Inspection and would encourage any parties, if they have questions or concerns about that, to also raise that issue with the Department of Building Inspection. But with that, as I said, we'd be inclined to grant the requested variance with that specified condition. And
we have to return back to item number 18, case number 2008.0546V, 2324 19th Street. Is the sponsor of this project here, please?
So the project sponsor is not here. I know we had received several comments in opposition to the project of 2324 19th Street. Does anyone here have public comment on the item? I see there are several people here, and maybe in one case.
You want to close this item?
Let's actually maybe continue this to the next hearing.
Okay, continue to the next, in March?
March 23rd. And as because there's project sponsors failed to show, no members of the public are here for the item. This would be our last item on the calendar, so there's several members of the public here. I don't know what items people may be here for.
Please approach the mic and we can...
This is the last.
We're here at 461 Hopper.
That item has already been heard. But it did note that there was opposition to... Yes, and that matter was heard before you guys arrived at the hearing.
we did ultimately grant that variance. The project sponsor has now left, so we can't actually have any further public comment on it without without them present. But it was granted, and the decision will be issued when the after the neighborhood notification is completed, which I believe is in 2 or 3 days.
The opposition was not taken into account.
We had a public hearing on it, but there was no one here to speak in opposition. So we did have the public hearing. The variance calendar starts at 9:30. Items can be heard anytime thereafter. So all members of the public are encouraged to come on time at 9:30 for the hearing. But we actually did have that item. We had actually delayed that item as well, for a while as well. There's no one here to speak during that time. So apologize for that, but as I said, it was granted. The decision will be issued, and that is appealable to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance. So if you would like to get a copy of that decision letter, please sign the sheet over there, and you'll get a copy of it and be appealed to the Board of Appeals. Thank you.
That's the last item in our calendar.
So are you here for another case?
We're here for 659 Ellsworth.
That was heard earlier. As well.
That's actually a variant, a consent calendar.
So that was heard that very.
Item number seven.
So
that has been.
We thought we were number seven. We thought we'd be.
Oh, yeah, because the hearing starts at 9:30, and so it was on a consent calendar, which means that it's heard at the very beginning. And so, were you here to speak in opposition to the?
No, we're.
Oh, it was granted.
Well, it was already granted. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We missed
don't
it.
Worry. Don't worry. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
So the last item was public comment. I don't believe that there is anyone here to have general public comment. So we will conclude this variance hearing, and the next variance hearing will be on March 23rd, 2011. Thank you.